சக்ஷுருன்மிலிதம் யேனா தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சைதன்யா மனோபிஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதா மயம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீ குரோ ஸ்ரீயுத பதகமலம் ஸ்ரீ குருன் வைஷ்ணவாமஶ்ச ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சகணரகுநாதான்விதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனசஹிதம் கிருஷ்ணசைதன்யதேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ணபதான் சகணலலிதா ஸ்ரீவிசாகான்விதாமஶ்ச. ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்து ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமோஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி ரிஷபானுசுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி பிரியே. ஜெய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர ஸ்ரீவாஸ் ஆதி கௌர பக்த விருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. So we would like to welcome you all on behalf of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, to their weekly Sunday feast program. And I would also at the same time like to congratulate all of you that you have chosen this option to spend your Sunday afternoon in the Association of Devotees here. Many of us, most of the time don't have an option what you would like to do or where you would like to be, whom you would like to associate with. Maybe at home, maybe at workplace, or maybe in your school or colleges if you are studying. By the way, how many of you understand English and how many are comfortable with Hindi? English, sabko comfortable hai? English? Hindi? Hindi all, okay. So I'll try to mix both, but basically it'll be in English. That's our language here. So once again I was like traveling the train, and aajkal jo sarkar hai usme janhit ke liye bahut kuch jari hone laga hai. Har jagah poster likhta hai janhit. Jab main train mein travel kar raha tha to wahan likha tha ki it was written there that be sensitive to your co-passengers and please speak in a low voice when you're on your mobile. Of course, besides that, people are going to speak as they are. So, phones or even otherwise, people are loud enough many times. Even if you don't want, you have to hear what they are saying. Any case, I just remembered something about the phones. And again, this was a Janhit thing. And I was just walking by and there was a poster and it said, so would you like to on Facebook and WhatsApp? And I was a bit surprised because I knew that people are making money on YouTube. But WhatsApp and Facebook was a sudden surprise. Aur phir niche likha tha ki, usko delete kariye aur kaam dhande pe lagiye. This is how people actually waste their time on phone. And this one person just met Yamraj, and Yamraj said that so what would you like, pehle aap swarg lok jana chahenge ya narg lok lana chahenge? तो दिस पर्सन रिप्लाइड, वेल आप धरती से मेरा मोबाइल और चार्जर दे दीजिए, मैं कहीं भी रह सकता हूँ. सो दैट इज द होल पॉइंट, यू नो, पीपल आर लाउड इनफ. एंड व्हेन आई वाज ट्रैवलिंग, यू नो, दीज पीपल वर टॉकिंग एंड दे वर मेन. Of course, when men are quiet, you know, people say that they are thinking. And when women are quiet, people think that there is something wrong with her. But any case, you know, even men gossip, and usually their topic of gossip is either politics or economics, money. So they were talking, and you know, these people were a group of middle class people, not too rich, and but they were making their investments. And I, even though I didn't want to, but they were loud enough to, you know, make sure what they were talking about, I could hear that. And they were talking about investing in mines. And I realized, you know, in Madhya Pradesh and areas nearby, this is a new craze for people. They have started investing in shallow mines, you know, mines that have been used already, or they are not too, you know, don't, they are not like deep mines. But with the greed, with the hope, whatever you may call, of finding some diamonds or jewels. And one of them, you know, had struck gold, or I can say, you know, actually he had found a small diamond. So he was talking about like maybe about 10 or 12 carats of diamond. And he was quite upbeat about it. And the other person was asking, so what do you hope, you know, after you get all the money, what do you plan to do? So, well, it really depends what money I get, because it depends on the type of auction that I have. If there are enough people and I get sufficient money, the first thing I have to do is repay my loans, you know, because I have taken so much loan for these, you know, leasing of these mines. And if I make good, then I'll buy more land. So people are such hopeful, you know, and trying new things to invest, and with the Swachh Bharat Abhiyan going in such a strong way, you know, people are saying, Swachh Bharat Abhiyan aasta aasta raste se kab hamare tijori tak aa gaya pata nahi laga, sab saaf ho raha hai. So people are really looking, you know, into new ways of investing. But fortunately for us, you know, Prabhupada has already shown the way where we are supposed to invest. And so we'll be talking about what investment is all about. Of course, mandir ke baare mein charcha aati hai, to sorry, but you know, I'm more comfortable with jokes in Hindi. That's my mother tongue. So people have different concepts of what, you know, the people in the temple have to do about money. They can do well without it. So ek bari ek भिखारी की लॉटरी लग गई, और जैसे ही लॉटरी लगी तो दूसरे भिखारी उससे पूछता, अब क्या करेगा तू इस पैसे का? बोला, बस अब मैं निश्चिंत हो चुका हूं, अब इस पैसे से पहले मैं मंदिर बनाऊंगा और उस मंदिर के आगे मैं इकलौता भिखारी होऊंगा. सो आई एम नॉट टॉकिंग ऑफ दैट टाइप ऑफ इन्वेस्टमेंट फ्रॉम द टेम्पल एंड, but we'll just be discussing of what the Bhagavatam is saying, what our real investment is, where we are supposed to put our time, energy, our mind, our body and words to really get the returns. So the first thing is that we have to really understand what is the jewel that we all are looking for. So Krishna is compared to a jewel. The love of Krishna is compared to the jewel. The conclusive statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are compared to a jewel. And the whole process of devotional service is compared to a jewel. So it is this jewel that we are looking for. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kapanai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kuraya Udai. It is this jewel of devotional service that lies dormant, that lies latent in our hearts, that we are all looking for. The heart that is you know, covered with darkness of ignorance can be compared to a mine. Now, usually when you go in mines, deep down, it's all dark. But the more deep you go, the more darker it gets. But as soon as you come across the jewel, the whole thing gets lighted up. So we are looking for this jewel of Krishna. And in the Mukunda Mala Stotra, Kulishekar describes Krishna in the following verse. He says, Bhaktapya bhujang garuda manistrailokya raksha manir gopi lochana chatakambuda mani saundarya mudra mani yah kanta mani rukmani ghanakucha dvandvaika bhusha mani shreho devasika mani radistauna gopal chuda mani. So here Krishna is being compared to a jewel. So he says he is the jewel riding on the back of Garuda, who carries away the Lord's devotees on his wings. He is the magic jewel protecting the three worlds, the jewel-like cloud attracting the chatak bird eyes of the gopis, and the jewel among all who gesture gracefully. He is the only jeweled ornament on the ample breast of Queen Rukmini, who is herself the jewel of beloved consorts. May that crown jewel of all gods, the best of the cowherds, grant us the supreme benediction. So this is how Krishna is being described as Gopal Chudamani. He is the crown jewel of all the cowherd men. So this is the jewel that we all are supposed to look for. The scriptures, the conclusive truths of the scriptures are also compared to jewels. Here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Shri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Yad Padashraha Viryatah Sangranati Akara Vratad Agya Siddhanta Sana Manin. Offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet, even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the minds of the revealed scriptures. So the scriptures have been compared to minds. Right? Usually when you are thinking of a book that is going to give you something back in terms of wealth, the one thing that everyone thinks is of what? A checkbook, right? But here, the shastras have been compared to a mind which cannot only give you what a checkbook can give, but it can give you the priceless jewel of devotional service to Krishna. Chaitanya Lilara Ratnasara Sarupera Bhandara Teho Thuila Raghunathe Rakante Takichu Yehe Shunilu Taha Yehe Vistarilu Bhakta Gane Dilau Ehi Bhete. So this pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are also considered like jewels, which have been stored in the heart of Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Sarup Damodar Goswami was the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was actually having a first-hand experience of what pastime Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing. He was able to understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami became the recipient of this treasure that Sarup Damodar Goswami wrote as a karcha, where he recorded all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later on, Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was able to hear all the pastimes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed from the mouth, from the lotus lips of Sri Raghunath Goswami on the banks of Radha Kund. And then he later expanded this, what he had heard, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if one is able to understand the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can very easily discover this jewel of love of Godhead. An astrologer, a person visits an astrologer. And this story is told by Srimadvacharya in the 5th canto, purports, his commentary on the 5th canto, I think, the 5th chapter. Where he's saying that how a person who has lost his father visits an astrologer to know his future. He's quite depressed because he was really dependent upon his father. And when the astrologer looks at him, he says, oh, actually your father was a very rich man. You know, he has left a treasure for you. And the only way you can, search this treasure is to go on the eastern side. Because if you go on the western side to search, then you'll be bitten by the wasps. If you try to search from the northern side, you will be swallowed by a python. And if you try to search it on the western horizon, you will be killed by a yaksha. And he's confused. He doesn't understand what the astrologer is saying. He said, all this time, you know, I didn't understand that my father is a rich person. Probably because they didn't have Modi who did the demonetization drive that time. And everybody was able to know who's rich and who's not. But the whole point was, the astrologer was telling him that how this wealth of devotional service is what his father has left. We all are actually the sons and daughters of the Supreme Father Krishna, who's the supermost wealthiest. And he has left this wealth for all of us. But how do we search for this wealth? So the first thing that he's saying, three ways you're not supposed to search for this wealth. Right? And he says that don't go on the southern side. The southern side is compared to like a person who's trying to seek this wealth of devotional service or love of Godhead by the ritualistic karmakanda activities. They're compared with wasps, you know. So he says, if you try to search in that direction, the only thing that you will have as your wealth is swollen hands and legs. You'll be bitten by these wasps. So don't do that. And don't try to search from the northern side also. Because the northern side is compared to one who tries to acquire this wealth or this jewel of Krishna prema by the mystic yoga process. There he thinks himself as Brahma and tries to become one with Brahma. Right? So basically he's swallowed. So we all are parts and parcels of Krishna. Yeah? That's what Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. That we are all parts and parcels of him. And this mystic yoga process is compared to a big python. And we are like small pythons or small snakes. This big snake of yoga where we try to become one with God will swallow us, will swallow our spiritual existence. It is nothing but spiritual suicide. That's why it's compared to a yaksha. And the west side is compared to acquiring this wealth by the process of Jnana Kanda. And this is described as, you know, confronting a yaksha. If you see in the olden days, you know, the wealth was actually guarded with the help of yakshas. But these yakshas are personalities who are not very easy to deal with, you know. So the only thing you are going to gain when you confront a yaksha is death. Because they are very expert to guide, in guiding this wealth. You have many temples in India now also where, you know, wealth is guided with the help of these snakes and yakshas, the mantras, which invoke these yakshas. So here the astrologer is telling, you know, don't try these processes. He says, then what should I try? He says, go try it from the eastern side. As soon as you try from the eastern direction, you will quickly acquire this wealth of devotional service. So this is the process that the Shastras are giving us. The process of devotional service. This is where they are indicating that we should invest. Invest our time, our money, and our wealth, our whole life, our words, our body, our mind. This is what really the whole investment should be about. So I've just, you know, used this word invest as an acronym to appreciate how we can progress in devotional service and acquire this wealth of Krishna prema. Srimati Radharani is compared to a mine full of jewels of Krishna prema. Different varieties of ways that she expresses her love for Krishna is compared to jewels. But because we cannot directly approach her, we approach her to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which again are compared to jewels. And in this way, taking shelter under the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pastimes, we can acquire this wealth of Krishna prema. So, I is the first word in invest. Yeah. And that what it really means is that be inspired and intense. Whatever may be your intent. Yeah. Many times when you tell people or you inspire people to take up to devotional service, they have their own frame of mind. And all reasons already ready. No, I cannot do this, main to bahut paap kar chuka hu. Mere mata pita ghar ka halat to aisa hai, main aisa hu. So they already have this prejudice and they think, no, devotional service is for pure people. No, devotional service is to get yourself pure. With whatever intention you come, that does not matter. What really matters is be inspired and be intense. So we have this shloka, and in the conversation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sanatana Goswami, where he is actually delineating the process of devotional service. And this is one of the first verses that he says. He says, Akama sarva kamova moksha kamo dharte tivrena bhakti yogena rajate purusham param. So one may approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his heart may be full of material desires. He may approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his heart may have no desires or no material desires. Or his heart may be filled with a desire of gaining mukti or moksha, that is freedom from this material existence or misery. Whatever condition he may approach, but if he approaches with great intensity, he approach tivrena bhakti yogena vachate purush. He should approach with great intensity and then his life will be successful. You know, people come with different intentions and different inspirations bring them to devotional service. That really does not matter. Like when Prabhupada went to the West and he came across many different type of people. They had different type of conditioning, different type of ambitions, different kind of inspirations. But he was very liberal. He just followed the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distributed this love of Godhead. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is very beautifully describing this process of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually followed in distributing this love. And we can see from the life of Srila Prabhupada, this is exactly what he did. So it says, Puna puna piya hoye mahamatta, nache kande hasi gaye aichi madamatta, patra patra vichar nahi, nahi stana stan, ye yaha pahitaha kare prema dan, lutiya khaya diya bhandara ujade, ashcharya bhandara prema shataguna bade. So this is the way they actually were distributing this love of Godhead. Usually when you have something priceless, you try to hide it from everyone. Right? So Krishna also, when he adventured in this world, he carried this love of Godhead. But he kept it hidden. He was very careful whom to give and whom not to give. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not like this. Yeah. Because he takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is characterized by her magnanimity. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes this same mood of magnanimity. So when he comes down, he also carries this love of Krishna within his heart. But he is very generous in distributing it. And what does Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says? He says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, the Panch Tattva, he comes down and starts distributing this wealth. How? By this process of Harinam Sankirtan. By this process of Kirtan. Dancing, crying, laughing, chanting like a madman. And he doesn't even consider that if a person is qualified or unqualified. He just gives it. Yeah. Nam Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigra Nitya Shuddhya Nitya Mukta Abhinatva Nama Namina. So the holy name, the process of devotional service, the holy name is also compared to a jewel. Nam Chintamani Krishna. Yeah. Once a person comes to Sanatana Goswami and he says, I have heard that you have a touchstone. So I would like to have this touchstone. A touchstone is like, you touch it to anything and it will turn into gold. A priceless thing to have. Yeah. And he says, I would really like to have this. He says, yeah, fine. If you have no problem, I can give it to you. So he says, so where have you hidden it? Well, no, it's not. I've not hidden it. It's just lying in the heap of dirt there. You can just go and collect it. And this person, he says, oh, really? So he becomes quite excited and goes to this heap of dirt and he says, oh, this is it. This is the touchstone. You know, the whole world is mad after this. And this is how I just get it, so simply. And as he's about to take this touchstone and go, and he just thinks for a moment, he says, Sanatana Goswami has this touchstone and he has just thrown it in a heap of dirt. That means definitely he has something more priceless. So he goes to Sanatana Goswami back and he says, I don't understand, you know, but I can really appreciate the fact that though you have this touchstone, you have just thrown it in the dustbin. What is it that you have more? That is what I would like to have. He says, well, if you really want to have that, the first thing you have to do is just throw away this touchstone in the Yamuna. And he really thinks for some time. He says, oh, really? This is one thing I've got and I know it works. You know, I'm touching and things are turning into gold. And he's promising me something more better. So should I take this risk? He really thinks, you know, and he says, no, if he's saying and, you know, he gave it me so easily, I have to put some faith. It's okay, fine. And he looks at the Yamuna and just throws and says, there it's gone. And then when he comes to Sanatana Goswami, he says, well, now please can I have it? And he says, yes, definitely. And then this is what he gives to him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he says, what? He says, yes. This is the Naam Chintamani, the jewel of Krishna Naam. All your desires will be fulfilled. What can touchstone do? Yeah. A touchstone can just give you wealth. But this Naam Chintamani can fulfill all your desires to the highest. Right from your material aspirations to your spiritual aspirations. So the scriptures are not teaching us to become desireless in one sense. The very symptom of a living entity is that he desires. If he doesn't desire, how can he be living? You know, only a dead person does not desire. But living person means desire. So when the Shastras are talking about desirelessness, what they are actually talking is being desireless in the material sense, but being awakened to spiritual aspirations and desires. And this is what the holy name can do. Right? So here, in his talk with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when citing this verse, he says, doesn't matter. With whatever desires one may come. And the Shastras are replete with such examples. You know, look at Dhruv Maharaj. Dhruv Maharaj's material ambition was not small. You know, what does the general populace actually desire? You know, ask anyone. He says, oh, I want some wealth, a good wife or a good husband and good children and a good job. And if you can do without a job, all the more better if I have that much wealth. Right? That's maximum even a material person can aspire for. But look at Dhruv Maharaj's aspiration. Dhruv Maharaj was aspiring for a kingdom greater than his grandfather. None other than Brahma. That was his aspiration. And, his mother gives the first indication. So like this, you know, you all have come here. Maybe you have been inspired directly or indirectly by your friends or maybe the Lord in your heart or your previous karma. And similar with Dhruv Maharaj, the first inspiration that he gets is from his mother. And mother says, see, you know, if you're really aspiring for something like that, then you better worship Lord Vishnu. He is the only person who can fulfill all your desires, all your aspirations. And taking that first clue, Dhruv Maharaj immediately leaves to the forest. And there, on the way, he comes across Narad Muni. And Narad Muni actually is amazed by the determination on the face of Dhruva Maharaj. And he tries to resist him. He says, Dhruva, you know, what are you trying? Do you know what it means to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's not an easy thing. Many people have tried. You know? How many do you think have succeeded? So in this way, you know, he tries to discourage. And this is also what we generally hear, you know, in the pious background of Bharat Bhumi. People know that devotional service to Krishna is the supreme most. But everybody thinks, well, it's reserved for the end of life, you know. That is when you should do it. Why waste your youth in it? It's not going to work. It's a tough thing. But here, Dhruva Maharaj tells to Narad Muni, see, if you can tell me how to do it, I am interested to have a conversation with you. Otherwise, I am already decided. This is what I am going to do. And Narad Muni is really impressed with his determination. He says, well, if that is the case, fine. This is what you should do. And then he teaches him how to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, that was the process in Satyug. Krayato Dhyayato Vishnu. So, Krite Dhyayato Vishnu. So, in Satyug, the process was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Dwapar Yuga, it is worshipping the deity form of the Lord. And Yajna is what is recommended in Treta Yuga. But the process for the Kali Yuga is very specifically given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's nothing but chanting the holy names of Krishna in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, you know, many people, you know, we meet and they say, you know, why you all focus on devotional service so much? Shastra mein baki kuch bhi diya hai, itna hai, uske baare mein aap charcha nahi karte. Aap logon ka ek hi problem hai. Aap ek hi cheez bolte rehte hain. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But we are not saying this. This is what the Shastras are telling. You know. So I just give them this example. He says, yes, Shastras do tell. There are different processes and like, you know, here Dhruva Maharaj is being instructed by Narad Muni that how you should meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's just like when you are going to a railway station for, you know, reserving your ticket. There are many windows. Right? You can go to any window and take your ticket. All windows work. But at some times you will see, you know, some windows you have a signboard in front of them, closed. So aap wahan jaake ticket lene ki koshish karenge to aapko ticket nahi milega. Kyon? Because it is authorized. The window is authorized, but it is closed. So similarly for other processes in Kali Yuga. They are authorized processes. But now, window band hai. There is only one window that is open. What is that window? The window of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is what the Shastras are saying. So yes, the other processes are authorized, but for this yuga, for this time, it is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna in the association of devotees. So this is what Prabhupada is, you know, giving. So when Prabhupada went to the US, he was actually dealing with really amazing kind of people who had no background, you know. No background. If you really come across stories of how Prabhupada, the type of people that Prabhupada was preaching to, you'll be amazed. You are much more fortunate actually. You're already lying, you're actually sitting on the gold mine. You just have to dig a little deeper. And there it is. You know, Prabhupada said of Indians, said they are this close to Krishna. The only thing is they are facing away from them. And for the Westerners, he said, they are that far from Krishna, you know. But the only thing is, they are running towards Krishna. That is the difference. But, you know, one of my services is to have an outreach for the Western people. And I can tell you, that, you know, they come from backgrounds which are amazing. But because they are intensely seeking for the essence, as soon as they come across any process of devotional service, it clicks. It really clicks. You know, we had this group of yoga students, and we were in this place of Haridwar, and we took them to the Ganges. And we were, you know, whatever we knew the glories of Mother Ganges, we are trying to extol those glories and tell them, you know, how the Ganges is like a mother. Please take a dip in this Ganges, purify yourself and make a wish. And I was really thinking, you know, this is what I'm saying, I hope it works. So you make a wish and you know, it will be fulfilled. Honestly, you know, I had my hand on my head and say, I hope it works. But the thing was, they really did it. And they, you know, they had that faith, yes, this Ganges is like mother and we should really, you know, take shelter of Mother Ganges. And the next day we had this introduction group, and you know, people were introducing themselves and saying why, you know, why they have come for this trip, what has brought them to this trip, and their different backgrounds, what they do. But by the time the whole thing had ended, and there were like maybe about 25 of them, you know, 3-4 of them were already telling that, you know, you told us yesterday that we should make a desire in front of Mother Ganges and wish for it, and lo and behold, it's already fulfilled. And, you know, then they started telling what their desires were and what they had paid for and how it was fulfilled. And I was really amazed. I said, wow, it works. It really does work. Yeah, so it does work. You know, we have our apprehensions, but it does work. And, you know, like also once we had this group and we were going to Tirupati for darshan of Lord Balaji. And if you have, any one of you has ever been to Balaji, it's really crowded. And it's really difficult to have darshan of Lord Balaji. You have to really be quick. And with all the sweat and time that you spend in the line, you may just have maybe, you know, 2 or 3 seconds to have a complete glimpse of the Lord. But anyhow, that's the way they focus on deity worship. So we had this group and they were like about maybe 15 or 20 odd Western bodied people. They were seekers, they were not devotees. And as soon as we came in front of Lord Balaji, and we trekked, we trekked actually. So they were really tired, you know, waited in the line for maybe about an hour and a half. But as soon as we came in front of Balaji, the priest looked at me and said, come here. He said, these all people are with you? I said, yes. I said, okay. He said, just stand here. Stand as much as you want. Until I don't tell, don't move. I said, really? He said, yeah, don't worry. I said, okay, thank you, that's Krishna's mercy. So, you know, but by the time, you know, I struck the dialogue with this priest and looked back, all these people were dispersed because they had never seen a crazy crowd like this, so they didn't know how to handle it, you know. And I really had to fight them to get back and said, come, you know, he's calling you all. It's a lifetime opportunity. You can have darshan of Lord Balaji as much as you want. And so by the time I gathered them and they stayed there and, you know, they were having darshan, I found this one person, you know, he was looking, you know, at the ground. And I was like, what is he doing? You know, we just don't have much time, and what is he searching down? There is the Lord, you should have darshan there. And I was trying to say, I said, hey, look up. And he was just not looking, he was just looking at the ground. You know, I had to actually catch him, you know. I actually caught him by the collar and said, hey, look up there. There is the darshan. And he was like, what is it? So, you know, by the time I came out, you know, 3-4 of them were already in tears. And he said, thank you so much. It's been a life-changing experience. We never had such an experience before. It's been amazing, amazing. And I was like, oops. You know, I have come so many times and, you know, at least tried to have darshan of Lord Balaji, but, you know, nothing has stuck here. But they're already in tears. I don't know what mercy the Lord has shown them. But I was really interested in this person, you know. And I said, hey, what were you looking down, man? You know, it's a lifetime of an opportunity you had, and he was just looking at the ground. He said, no. The group leader that he came up with, he said, I don't know what darshan actually means. This is the type of people. They had no idea what darshan means. Said, but our group leader told us, that when you're going to have darshan of the Lord, you should start looking from his feet. So I was trying to look where the feet are. Feet are at the lowermost position. So what he was actually trying to do was, in his innocence, was really trying to look where the feet are. But anyhow, he had a beautiful darshan, and the people were really touched in their heart. So the Lord really reciprocates in amazing ways. You may come with whatever intentions, but the Lord really knows, how to get the best out of you. There's a famous story of Ranchod Rai, And this person was a thief. And he would come to have daily darshan of Ranchod Rai ji. And he noticed that on particular days, they used to offer Krishna this beautiful jeweled crown. And because he was a thief, he really got attracted to it. And he said, if I get this crown, if I can lay my hand to this crown, my lifetime is successful. I don't have to do anything in my life. So he really plans and is careful about how he's supposed to going to steal this crown. So he schemes and he is able to hide himself inside the altar. And as the doors close, he says, wow, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. But he realizes it's going to be difficult to lay his hand on the crown because Ranchod Rai is a bit tall. It's really like a life-size deity. He says, abhi kya karu? He says, but I have to get this crown. Somehow I've come in and I can't let this thing go. So he says, well, there is no other way. I have to put my foot on the Lord. That's the only way I can really get hold of this crown. So he actually climbs on Ranchod Rai ji and lays his hand on this crown. As soon as he lays his hand, Ranchod Rai starts laughing and he's taken aback. He says, who's there when I was alone? Who's laughing? And then he understands, actually the Lord is laughing. He says, I am so happy with your devotional service, Log aate hain mere paas aur kya kya chadha ke jaate hain. Lekin aapne to apne aap ko hi chadha diya hai. And the Lord says, I accept you. You are my devotee. Amazing, amazing. No one has ever done that before. And this person gets the shock of his life. The point is, with whatever intentions you may come, but somehow if you come in touch with Krishna, definitely Krishna will make sure, more than you, he's eager to give himself. More than it, he's eager to give himself, So try to see the austerities that Dhruva Maharaj actually performs. When he goes, the first month, actually, only once in 9 days, he's eating this kapita fruit. It's a fruit that's only eaten by the monkeys. Then the next, the second month, only once in 12 days, he's just eating dry leaves and grass that is actually fallen on the ground. The third month, he's only drinking, water once in a few days. And in the fourth month, he actually controls his breathing. And I think once in a few days, he just breathes once in a few days. And this is the type of austerity that Dhruva Maharaj is doing. In the fifth month, he's already standing on one leg and he stopped breathing. That is the type of austerity. This is what he actually undergoes to acquire the Lord. But here in Kali Yuga, Krishna is giving such an easy process in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, don't have to do all this, Just don't have to do all this. Come in the association of devotees and just chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What an easy process. What is the austerity? Hardly anything. So when Prabhupada actually went to the US, he saw the type of people, he was amazed. He prays to the Lord. He says, give me intelligence, of how am I supposed to deliver this message of yours. How am I supposed to actually share these jewels with these people? So, amazing stories of the type of people that Prabhupada comes across. Here in Bombay, you know, one of the oft-quoted, quoted stories was a person that, you know, he was a thief. And he would regularly come and visit Prabhupada when he would lecture in Jhu. And he saw that Prabhupada was having this, very expensive watch. He says, "Theek hai, ye ghadi mil gayi na, apna kaam ho gaya." So he actually started attending with that intention. But after a few months he realized, you know, that he has become a devotee. And then Prabhupada, and he went and told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, this is the idea I had come with, you know, I was a thief and somehow I become a devotee, you know." He says, "Really?" He says, "Okay, what's it? Take this watch, take it." He said, "No, I really don't want it now." So Dhruva Maharaj actually undergoes such austerity. His whole intention was actually acquiring a kingdom greater than that of Brahma. But as soon as he has the darshan of the Lord, he says, "Swamin krutharthosmi, varam nayache." The Lord has come there, he has appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj, and he's saying, "Okay, what benediction do you want? Ask." And Dhruva Maharaj is so stunned. He's so stunned upon receiving this jewel of Krishna's devotional service, seeing this jewel of Krishna, the Neelmani in front of him, resplendent, glowing, that he just doesn't know what to speak. He's just overcome, he's overwhelmed with the Ladini potency. And then the Lord touches him with his shank and says, no, please ask. He says, "No, Swami Krutarthosmi Varam Nayachi. I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but what I have now got in turn is invaluable diamond, the form of your devotional service and you yourself." Yeah. This is how he regrets. So, everybody is trying to invest in something or the other. But the Bhagavat devotees, the sadhus, everybody is saying, if you really want to invest in something, you know, invest in something which is immune to demonetization, this is the thing. The process of devotional service. The process of chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The invaluable jewel that is actually lying dormant in your heart. You just have to, you know, dig a bit deeper and there it will glow. So, this is the whole point that the Shastra is making. Whatever your intention and whatever your inspiration, people can be inspired by so many things. You know, so many things actually inspire people to come to devotional service. And devotees are the most expert of it. Of how to inspire people to take on to this process. You know, you have this story of Surbhi Maharaj. He was the one who actually built the temple in Jhu. And Surbhi Maharaj in his previous life was an architect. And he was quite interested in, different types of architect and got attracted to India. So the India is a land, you know, where you have these old temples, especially Vishnu temples and all. And I would really like to go and study them. So with this intention, actually he comes to India. And he lands in Mumbai and he tries to, you know, search all over where I can get the Vishnu temple to actually study this architect. And he's not able to find one. And he comes across people and he says, "Hey, you're looking for some Vishnu temple? There are some Vishnu devotees. They're staying in this Akash Ganga building." That time Prabhupada had actually come with his Western devotees. And he was staying in a rented building in Akash Ganga. And it was just a rented building. It was not even a temple. But some of these people says, "You go there, you know, they will tell you where to actually look for this." So when he enters there, before he is able to speak anything, you know, devotees, when they see him, he says, "Hey, you know, we are vacating the building today and we are going to this land in Jhu. So we are in great hurry, we are packing up things. Can you just help us to pack?" And he's like, "What? I don't even know these people, you know, and they're already saying me that we are going to some different place and they want me to help to pack and all." He says, "Oh, okay, fine." He says, "I have nothing else to do." And they are the people you can, you know, actually guide me to a good Krishna temple. So why not? Just so he helps them to pack and they sit in a taxi. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu is actually leading the whole thing. And by the time they reach to the land of land in Juhu, Shyam Sundar Prabhu looks at him and says, "You know, actually, we don't have much money. Can you pay for the taxis?" And he's like, he says, "I think I'm in the wrong place." But anyhow, he goes and, you know, helps the devotees to unload. And then Shyam Sundar Prabhu says, he says, "One thing, you know, I just forgot. You know, we have this tape that we usually record, you know, Prabhupada's lectures on. And I see that you also have one. You know, we forgot our at the Akashganga building. So can you have your tape? And you can sit in front of Prabhupada and record the lecture because you know how to use your tape." He has no idea where he's getting into. So he says, "Okay, fine." And he sits in front of Prabhupada and Prabhupada is speaking. And Prabhupada is, you know, continuously looking at this person. He says, someone new has come. You know, I've never seen him before. And he's already, you know, there recording my lecture. So Prabhupada notes him. And after the lecture, you know, Prabhupada inquires about who is he. And then he comes to Prabhupada and says, "You know, this is my whole idea. I'd come here to study this architect of temples." And Prabhupada says, "Really? Wow, Krishna has sent you. No, we are planning this temple in this land. That is why we have this land. So can you help us build this temple?" And he is really, you know, he's taken aback. He says, "I have come to study. I have no idea what building a temple is. And here this person is asking me to build a temple." He says, "Well, okay, this is what you want." And your Prabhupada starts giving him some ideas, you know, "This is what I want and this is what you can do." And he's into it. And before he can realize, maybe it's like a year or two, and he's already a full-fledged devotee, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But of course, he gets the privilege of building both temples for Prabhupada, the one in Juhu and also the one in Vrindavan. Of course, so whatever the intention, you know, and whatever the inspiration. But there is nothing like a devotee inspiring people to take upon this process. And Prabhupada was really expert at that. So, this is how, you know, before long, Supi Maharaj realizes that he's already become a full-fledged devotee. In fact, he just passed about a couple of years ago, fully in Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan. So, that is the whole point the Shastra is making. Whatever it is, whatever your intention, whatever your inspiration, but be intense. Take this process. You know, how many of you have been living a life and someone asks you, given a second chance, would you really like to live your life in a different way? How many would raise their hands? The point is, would you really like to live your life in a different way compared to what you have been living today? Yes or no? Yeah. So this devotional service is something like a reset button. Right? This is an opportunity where you can reset your life. But you can really reset if you are serious about it. Yeah. If you are intense about it. And what is the point? And what is the point that Krishna is telling, or Mahaprabhu is saying, in being intense? The point that he's trying to really make is Buddha Bhava Samanvita. This is what he's trying to tell. He says, the intelligent people, Aham Sarvasva Prabho, Mat Sarvasva Parvartate, Iti Mam Bhajante, Iti Matva Bhajante Mam, Buddha Bhava Samanvita. He says, the wise men worship me with all their hearts. So the point of being intense is not only the external aspects of devotional service, is but to put your heart, not only your mind, not only your intelligence, but your heart. That is the point of being intense. Because that is what Krishna is looking for, is where your heart is placed. And your heart can really cheat you. Right? But Krishna is very difficult to be cheated. He is not going to be easily cheated. You know, you can put on many faces, you can put on many personalities on your face. But Krishna will expose, devotional service will expose where your heart is. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur gives this anecdote. Says there was this very learned pandit, and he was very expert in different languages. So he comes to this darbar or what is assembly of the king, and he starts speaking in many languages. And then, you know, the king is very impressed. He says, "My God, this person is learned." And then this person, you know, this pandit puts a question in front of the king. He says, "That's fine, you know, you could appreciate my learning. But I want to know from you that can you tell my mother tongue?" And the king is, he says, "Well," he looks at his ministers. And one of them says, "Yeah, hold on, tell him tomorrow." So the king says, "Fine." Believing his minister, he says, "Okay, yes, probably give me a day and I'll get back to you tomorrow." And then he goes to his minister, he says, "Come on, how are you going to understand what his mother tongue is? He's fluent in any language that he speaks." He says, "That's right, but we have a way out. This person, you know, I've been seeing, he's come to our kingdom for quite a long time. And he's been, every morning, you know, he walks in this garden of yours. So we will go there tomorrow in hiding, and we'll wait upon him." So this person, as usual routine, you know, he comes to the garden, he's walking, and the minister actually climbs a tree. And as soon as this person, this pandit, walks from below the tree, he jumps on him. And as soon as he jumps, he starts using all types of abusive languages on him, this, that, this, that. And the king says, "This is your mother tongue." Yeah. This is your mother tongue. Because once you are confronted with the situation, with circumstances, you cannot hide what is in your heart. It will come out. So that is what Krishna is saying. Buddha bhava samanvita. That is what he is saying when he is saying, be intense. Put your heart and see how soon you can come to this jewel of Krishna consciousness. So this is what I stands for. That whatever your inspiration and whatever your intentions, but be intense. N is for nuances of navigation. Basically what it means is, once you have taken this process of devotional service, how do you navigate this path? You know, the Shastras give such inspiring statements. Sometimes you really feel, are they only supposed to inspire you? Is it like a pep talk? Or are they facts? In the 11th canto, second chapter, in the shlokas between 35 to 40, you know, one of the munis is telling to Navyogendra Maharaj, he says that, you know, the Shastra says, even if a person runs on this path of devotional service and he's blind, his both eyes are closed, be rest assured, he will reach his destination. And you're like, what? You know, have you heard of a person running? Forget walking. The Shastra is saying, even if he runs with both his eyes closed, he's sure to reach his destination. Don't worry. You know, the Shrutis and Smrutis are compared to the eyes, which actually give jnana for a vipra or for a Brahman. So even if one does not understand the Shruti and the Smriti, but still takes to this process of devotional service, even without understanding it. So when Prabhupada was actually giving this mantra, how many people understood it? They even didn't know what it meant. They thought it's good music. Yeah. It gives a good kick. It takes you somewhere where you have never been. It's good prasad after all this singing, so no harm. Yeah, many even didn't know what it meant. Hare Krishna and Ram, three words. Took some time to repeat. But yeah, it sounds good. That is the potency of devotional service. You may understand or you may not understand. Yeah, Prabhupada used to give an example. Just like fire, you know, you may know it burns or you may not know. You put your hand, you will be burned. It's inevitable. Similarly, when you're searching for jewels in a mine, you know, or even metals for that matter, when you get, they're very raw. They're not finished. They are surrounded with many impurities. But you put them through the purificatory process of putting them in a furnace, and lo and behold, within no time, all the impurities are washed off. So it really does not matter, you know, because if you take it intensely, it does not matter you have, you know, like a molehill of dirt on you or a gigantic mountain of dirt of impurities in your heart. Because the process is such powerful that within no time it will vanquish all these impurities. But you have to take it up intensely. And intensely is what? You know, even a common, even, you know, the process that Prabhupada gave, after some time we get used to it and we don't even realize that it's intense actually. Now there was this one person who came in touch with Krishna consciousness, and in his previous life he was like a criminal. This was in the West. And he was really wanted by the police. So, you know, somehow escaping, he lands up in a Hare Krishna temple, you know, taking refuge there. And after some time, you know, he starts liking the people there. He says, his devotees are amazing, you know, and you get good prasad and you're singing all the time. Somehow he stays there. And for about a year, he just stays in the temple. And after some time, the process of purification naturally works. And he feels that, you know, I've been staying here for such long and... you know, and because of his natural awakening of purity, he says, no, I think I should go and surrender to the police. So, he makes this bold, courageous steps, you know, goes to the police station, says, you know, I'm the person you have been looking for and for such long. And the inspector is surprised. He says, really, we have been looking for you. So, they're very happy, put him in the jail, put, you know, bring him in front of the magistrate. And the magistrate says, well, you know, one thing I really want to know is, what have you been doing, you know? You have been telling, you have been one of the most wanted criminals here, but you have come and surrendered yourself. What transpired? I would really like to know. And then he starts, you know, describing his process. He says, well, you know, this is what I've been doing. And, you know, we get up at 3:30 in the morning, and the devotees, we chant this Mahamantra, and these are the regulative principles that we have been following, you know, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no drinking, no intoxication, and then we have different services in the day, and blah, 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 and then we go on the streets, and, you know, we distribute books and all this, and after the judge, you know, hears all this, he looks at the, you know, at the police and says, he's already going a term. You don't have to give him any other judgment on him. He's already doing enough. Let him do that. Itself is his punishment. So, actually we feel, you know, that that after some time you get used to it. But it is austere enough. You really don't have to do like Dhruv Maharaj, but it's austere enough to bring out that purity in you. So, if you follow this process, are careful about the speed breakers, the ditches, the sharp turns that come across in the form of offenses and the different types of anarthas that can creep in your heart, you can definitely make progress on this path with your eyes closed, no doubt about it. But time is running short, so I can't really complete with the whole thing, but we'll just touch the other things. So the next thing that comes is V. So after some time, you know, people get really complacent in devotional service and says, "Theek hai, main kar raha hun, sab Hari naam le raha hun, jab kar raha hun, sola mala ho rahe hain, thodi bahut seva bhi kar deta hun, chal raha hai, kya zarurat hai abhi, theek hai, chalte raho." But then you miss it. You come this close and you still miss it. So V stands for voluntarily venturing. See, when you are even, you know, mining or looking for jewels in an ocean, you don't get them on the surface. You have to go really deep. So in devotional service, when you volunteer to venture out of your comfort zone that is when you actually start first getting the glimpse of these jewels, which are lying deep within the heart. So you have to really come out of your comfort zone and venture out. Then you can actually come to the next step of experiencing E. Enriched experience. You know, this is what happened with Sudama Vipra. Sudama Brahman, you know, nice story. You just give little poha and you get palaces and what not. Right? What a way to make investment. But was that his real return on his investment? No. So when actually he gives, you know, meets Krishna and has this loving exchange, when he is coming back, Krishna actually does not give him anything when he meets him in Dwarka. So when he is coming back, and Sudama does not even ask. But when he is coming back, his heart is enriched with these emotions of love. Why? Because the way that Krishna greets him, you know, we had this reunion with, you know, our 10th standard classmates. It's been 25 years that I had been with them. And most of the people I could not even recognize with their face. And for Sudama and Krishna, it's been years, and Krishna is such a big personality. He knows so many people. You know, I travel across India, you know, like every week I'm at a new place. And sometimes people meet me and they talk to me, you know, for, you know, sometimes it's for maybe half an hour and 1 hour. And only the thing that I'm struggling to, you know, remember in my mind is, where have I met him, you know? Or who's this person? And he's going on talking and talking and talking, and I'm really struggling to, you know, recollect, you know, where did I meet him? And here, you know, we have Krishna, who's such a big personality. He knows so many people. He's the king. And just as soon as he looks at Sudama from far, he's sitting on his throne, and Sudama is just at the doorstep of his assembly, Krishna comes running to him, says, Sudama. And Sudama is taken aback in surprise. And just to be sure, you know, he thinks, oh, probably Krishna is expecting someone else. You know, probably someone, he has an appointment with someone else, and he is mistook that I'm that same person. So, you know, just to make sure, you know, he starts, you know, telling things, and Krishna says, no, 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 I know what is in your heart. And Krishna starts telling him all his childhood pastimes, and Sudama is ensured, you know, no, no. He recognizes me. He knows. He says, if he recognizes me, he definitely knows why I've come here. So Krishna gives him nothing in return. But when Sudama is going back, what he's carrying in his heart is this emotions, this enriched emotions. He is recollecting the words from the Shastra. Namo Brahmana Devayo, Go Brahmana Hitayacha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namah. He says, now I have realized the purport of this word, that of this verse, that how Krishna is so merciful to the Brahmanas. How Krishna is so merciful to the Brahmanas. Sudama was actually very happy doing performing his devotional service. You know, his wife actually pushes him. And wife does not push actually for wealth. That is an external reason. She is actually desiring the comfort of her husband. But Sudama takes it. He says, okay, any case, you know, I have been performing this devotional service. Why not make that extra effort and have darshan of Krishna? We are so close by, so let's do it. This is that extra step he takes, and this is the enriched experience that he gets. So one may not be expert, but if he makes that extra endeavor, Krishna is sure to reciprocate. Dadami buddhi yogam tvam. Because he gives the intelligence, how one is supposed to come to him. Yeah. So we may not understand the nuances of how to perform devotional service, but Krishna in the heart will give the intelligence. Yeah, so this story of mine is favorite from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It gives in such a very succinct way of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually teaching us. You know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would dance in the Rath Yatra festival or in the temple, and after the whole dance and experiencing that ecstatic emotions, Mahaprabhu would come back to Gundicha. And he would lie down for some time. And Govinda, his personal servant, would come and massage his foot. This time, You know, Mahaprabhu was really tired. And he came and slept in the doorway. And, you know, Govind wanted to actually massage his foot, but he was not able to do so the way Mahaprabhu was lying down. So he was really confused what to do. So after much contemplation, what he does is, he puts a cloth over Mahaprabhu's body and goes to the other side so that he can massage the Lord's foot. And he keeps on massaging. And after some time, you know, Mahaprabhu, he comes to external consciousness, Govinda, it's time. It's time for your prasad. It's time for your prasad too. I have to finish it. So he says, it's time. You know, it's time for your prasad. You have not taken your prasad. And he says, how can I take prasad, Mahaprabhu? You know, you're blocking the way. He said, if I was blocking the way, how did you get on the other side? So Govinda does not reply. But in his mind he thinks, my dear Lord, for your service, even if I have to commit offenses, I am ready to do that. But for my own sense gratification, I cannot do it. Just because I want to enjoy prasad, I cannot cross your body. But because I have an opportunity to serve you, and if that means to commit an offense, I am ready to do it. So this is how Krishna gives this intelligence in the heart. This is how one understands the nuances of devotional service. Staying in the association of devotees. Venturing out, having this enriched experience, and naturally, then spontaneously he wants to share. Yes. You don't have to really... What is preaching? Preaching is nothing but sharing the enriched experience that you are feeling in your heart. No one has to really coax you to do that. It's natural, it's spontaneous. You want to share it. And after some time, devotional service itself becomes the very inspiration of continuing it. Then you start tasting it. And then this becomes a cycle. Just go on and go on and go on. And this is when your investment really gives your returns. Yeah. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is actually telling that how he is just like a small bird, you know. And this process of devotional service of Sri Chaitanya, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like a vast sky. So I have tried to, you know, fly as much as I can. Even I am just trying to share, you know, whatever little I can, whatever I have understood from what Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying. Once there was a competition between an eagle and a small sparrow, and they decided to catch the sun. You know, and after some time, the sparrow just fell down. He says, I can't go down. And when the other birds gather, he says, what happened? He says, well, you know, I tried, it's too far, but look at the eagle. He's made it, he's gone. You can't even see the eagle from here. And after some time, the eagle comes back and everybody is cheering, Jai ho, Jai ho, Jai ho, eagle ki Jai ho. He says, what is it? Aap sab meri jai kyun kar rahe? You have gone to the sun, you have gone to the sun. He says, no way man, the sun is so far. Okay, I flew a bit ahead of you, but that does not mean I've got the sun. Yeah. So yes, you know, probably I've been here for 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. Maybe a little far. But it's still quite far. It's not easy to catch the sun. But yes, it's like an ocean. So everyone can go in this ocean and whatever your capacity is, you can try to swim. And definitely, you know, definitely you'll get your returns. So, you know, like in investment they say, whenever people gather in the morning, there are two type of people. One who are rich in experience and one who have the money. And usually by the end of day, they exchange places. So any case, but this process is not like this. You'll get the experience and you'll get to keep your investment with you with thought of multiplication. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful, Prabhuji. Prabhuji has enlightened us glories of devotional service, glories of investment in devotional service. So we would like to thank Prabhuji by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So first of all, we would like to welcome the guest who have come here for the very first time. So सबसे पहले हम उन सभी अतिथियों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे. जो कि आज संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम में पहली बार आए हैं. आवर रिसेप्शन इंचार्ज विल बी स्टैंडिंग नियर हनुमान जी विग्रह, विल वेलकम यू इन आवर टेम्पल. He will give you Mahaprasad and if you have any question, he will happily answer. तो हमारे जो स्वागत अध्यक्ष हैं, जो कि हनुमान जी के विग्रह के पास खड़े रहेंगे, वे आपको महाप्रसाद तो देंगे ही, साथ में अगर आपके मन में कोई प्रश्न है तो उसका